thinking about what you need to do. You'll weigh the pros and the cons. You'll consider how you feel about what you need to do, and you'll talk yourself out of doing it. I've said it before. I'll say it again because it is so important. You are not battling your ability to stick to a diet. You are not battling your ability to execute a plan. You are not battling your ability to repair a broken marriage or rebuild your life or hit your sales goals or win over a bad manager. You are battling your feelings about doing it. You are more than capable of doing the work to change anything, despite how you feel. This is really important. You cannot control how you feel, but you can always choose how you act. Always choose how you act. Have you ever wondered how pro athletes achieve so much? Well, part of it's talent and practice, of course, but there's another key element, and it's a skill that you and I need in our lives. It's the ability to separate our emotions and push our bodies and our mouths and our minds to move. Look, an athlete may feel tired as the football game drags into the fourth quarter, but they don't act tired. Feelings are suggestions, and it's the ones that the greatest athletes ignore. To change, you've got to do the same. You must ignore how you feel, and as Nike would tell you, just do it anyway. Look, everybody struggles with their feelings of self-doubt. Just ask Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's the creator of the smash hit Hamilton that won 11 Tony Awards in 2016. You know, it took him 6 years to write Hamilton. You may dream of writing the next Hamilton, and you very well might. Just don't forget that it took Miranda 6 years to write that show. And he had to battle his feelings of self-doubt every step of the way. Now, recently, as in just a couple months ago, he put up this post on his Twitter page. It's absolutely awesome. It's a post of a conversation between Miranda and his wife, Vanessa. 3 years before Hamilton debuted. 3 years. He was still writing it. Still scoring the music. 3 years before the sellout crowds, the $1,000 tickets, him being shot into the world of the rich and famous. Miranda, you know what he was doing? He was writing. He was struggling. What was he struggling with? His feelings. His feelings of self-doubt. He wrote to his wife, "I have a hard time finding the balance between not beating myself up when it doesn't happen as fast as I'd like it to and not wasting time while I wait for it to happen." What did Miranda do? Pushed himself, ignored his feelings, kept writing, got back to the piano. That's why he posted this on his page, by the way, to remind everybody out there, we're all the same. We all struggle with the same self-defeating feelings, and the only way out is through. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever you're dealing with, suck it up. Ignore how you feel and get back to your damn piano. I love what his wife said, too. Everyone has that problem all the time. She's right. We all doubt ourselves. That's the truth. The biggest mistake you could make is to buy into the lies your feelings are telling you. Do not wait until you feel like it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get back to your piano. All right, let's go back to the meeting in Plano, Texas, where Christine has a decision to make. In the past, as soon as she felt uncertain, she would have just looked down at her notepad, said nothing, and in 5 seconds, the moment would have been over. She would have said nothing. And then, of course, one of her colleagues would have probably raised a similar idea, because colleagues always do something annoying like that, right? She'd then spend the afternoon beating herself up for not talking, and the vicious cycle would continue. But today Christine does something different. Look, she dreads what she's about to do, and she can feel that 5-second window starting to close as her own brain is now fighting her. She can feel her feelings rise up. Her stomach is in knots as she applies the rule. She starts counting silently backwards in her head to quiet the self-doubt and awaken her prefrontal cortex. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The counting, it interrupts that pattern of staying silent. It distracts her from her fears. It creates a moment of deliberate action. By asserting control in that moment, she activates her prefrontal cortex so that she can drive her thoughts and actions. Then, she opens her mouth and says, "I have an idea." Everyone turns and looks at her, and Christine feels like she might just die right there. She forces herself to keep moving forward. She sits up a little taller. She takes up a little more space by sliding her elbows wider across the table, because that's what power posing taught her. And she starts to speak. So I had this idea. You know how statistically all these millennials are using Snapchat as a platform to... And she shares her idea. Everyone listens. They ask a few questions. And then her boss says, "Thanks, Christine. It's a really interesting suggestion. Anyone else?" On the outside, nothing earth-shattering happened. But on the inside, something life-changing did. Christine discovered the courage she needed to become the person she's always wanted to be at work, a rock star. What Christine said isn't the point. It's that she said anything at all that makes this moment powerful. Sharing her idea for a social media campaign changed something way more important than the marketing strategy of a company. It changed Christine. It not only changed how she behaved, but it also changed how she viewed herself. It even changed her mindset. You see, this is how you build confidence. You do it 1 5-second push at a time. She used the rule to reach deep inside herself and find a little courage, and by speaking up, when normally she held herself back, she proved to herself on a random afternoon in a conference room in Plano, Texas, that she was, in fact, good enough and smart enough to contribute ideas at work. It was a small but monumental step, and it took courage. The rule is how Christine took a risk and was able to apply the advice that we all know works. It was how she leaned in, as Sheryl Sandberg urges us to do, outsmarted the lizard brain, as Seth Godin implores, and acted like an original, as Grant champions, and dared greatly, as Brené Brown empowers us to do. I said earlier on that the rule is a tool that creates immediate behavior change, and that's exactly how Christine used it. That's how you're going to use it, too. By being deliberate, Christine was able to beat the feelings that normally stop her and become more assertive in her career. The more she uses the rule to express her ideas, the more confident that she will become. Confidence is a skill that you build through action. Social psychologist Timothy Wilson writes about a psychological intervention, quote, "do good, be good," that dates all the way back to Aristotle. Its premise is based on changing people's behavior first, which in turn changes their self-perception of the kind of person that they are based on the kinds of things that they do. This is precisely why the 5-second rule is your ally. It's a tool for action, and that action creates behavior change that's aligned with your goals and commitments. It's not a tool for thinking, and at the end of the day, you're going to need to do a lot more than think if you want to change your life. Wilson agrees. He has said that our minds aren't stupid. It's not like you can just tell your mind, think positively. You got to nudge yourself a little more. See, I believe you got to do a little bit more than nudge. You must push right through the feelings that stop you and do the work to break the habits that hold you back. And then, and only then, you will be able to replace each and every one of these destructive habits with the habit of courage. Now, like Christine, at the next meeting, Christine's going to need to practice everyday courage and use the rule again. She'll be in the exact same situation. She's going to have something she wants to say. She's going to feel uncertain. She's going to feel uncomfortable. She'll start to doubt herself as she is about to share her idea. She's going to hesitate. She's going to feel herself, talk herself out of it, just like what happened today. That's the push moment. It's a moment when your values and goals align, but your feelings scream no. That's the moment Christine will need to use the 5-second rule to push herself to speak. The more that she uses the rule, the faster she will break her habit of staying silent in meetings, and the faster she'll replace it with a new one. Courage. Visibility. The more that Christine is able to express her true self and bring out the ideas inside her, the more alive, connected, and empowered she's going to become. Nate knows exactly how empowering that feels. He's using the 5-second rule every day to push himself to grow his new wellness business. And Carol wrote to me because pushing herself to get out of her comfort zone is how she found the courage to achieve one of her lifelong bucket list goals, and that's presenting to her nursing colleagues at one of her national conferences. As she wrote, in May of 2016, I heard you speak at NTI and you inspired and challenged me to be better, to get out of my comfort zone. I was so moved. As part of my step one, I 54321 submitted my project for a podium presentation, got accepted, and spoke in front of nursing colleagues a few hours before Hurricane Matthew's landfall. Very cool. Here's another example. When Alexandria was invited to give a presentation at work, her head was full of excuses. That's when she pulled out the rule. Remember, you got to beat the feelings. A matter of 54321, she acted on a moment that changed everything, and that gave her the confidence to teach a postgraduate class. Wow, that is awesome. Here's what she wrote. When I was invited to give my first presentation about online marketing, I thought, oh, cool, but will I really do this? It's not 100% my topic, and it's in another town. See, do you hear the feelings? And plus, I already have a super busy, tiring week, and then in a matter of 54321, I stood up and thought to myself, I should say yes without even blinking, and that's what I did. And that, of course, became such a success that she's now been invited to do more presentations and teach a postgraduate course. How cool is that? See, the reason why it is so freeing to use the rule is because you're not only seizing the moment. When you beat your fears, you take ownership of your life. You change no's to yeses. Jim wrote to us on Instagram, and he says that he says never underestimate the power of you. He's used the rule to beat analysis paralysis, and he's had one incredible year. And so can you. As Wilson and Aristotle said, do good, be good. Change your behavior first, because when you do, you change how you perceive yourself. That's exactly what Anna Kate discovered when she started using the rule. She is a lot like Christine. She's a marketing professional who used to stay quiet when the room was watching. She was worried that her colleagues would think that she's, quote, silly and inexperienced. Only to learn that once she found the courage to change her behavior at work, something she never expected happened. Her creativity flourished. Let me read her email to you. Here's my 5-second rule story. While I reluctantly dragged myself out of bed in 5 seconds in order to do my 30 before 7:30, inspired by you, Mel, and other morning routines, my career has been impacted the most by the 5-second rule. I'm a marketing professional, so we are constantly on alert for new ideas. Each new idea can take off and develop into a full-on campaign garnering major results for our clients. Yep, just one little inkling. In order to keep it all together, I like to carry a small notebook in my bag with me wherever I go and use it to jot down quick tasks, but mostly ideas. With the 5-second rule, I don't think about it or consider the long-term life of my idea, nor do I send it up the ladder for approval. I'll deal with that later. I just need to get it on paper. Later, I revisit and take the time to evaluate a sound strategy. I used to be such a sissy when it came to sharing ideas or even writing them down. I was self-conscious and worried about what people would think or if they would see me as silly and inexperienced. Since I have cast my scaredy cat syndrome aside, my creativity has flourished. Now I can't remember what I was so worried about in the first place. And P.S., my team actually digs my ideas. I love that. Look, you can feel like a scaredy cat and 54321 and act brave. Because at the heart of every single moment, there's a choice. 5 seconds at a time, you make a decision to do, say, or pursue what's really important to you. Or you let fear make a decision to silence you. That's why there's such a tight bond between courage and confidence. Every time you face doubt and 54321 and push right past it, you prove to yourself that you're capable. Every time that you beat fear and you 54321 and do it anyway, you display inner strength. And every time you smash your excuses and 54321 and say it anyway, you honor the greatness inside of you that wants to be heard. That's how confidence grows. One small, courageous move at a time. Chapter 8, how to start using the rule. So the fastest way to implement the 5-second rule in your life is to start by using it the exact same way that I did. I've designed a simple wake-up challenge that you can start tomorrow morning, and it's going to jumpstart your use of the rule. All you need to do is set your alarm 30 minutes earlier than usual, and the moment that the alarm rings, count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and push yourself out of that bed. Change is simple, not easy. There are a few reasons why this challenge is important. First of all, there's zero wiggle room. The challenge is so straightforward, there's no way that you can get out of it. It's just you, the alarm clock, the countdown trick, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you fail, guess what? It's because you made a decision to blow off the 5-second rule. Second reason I designed this challenge. If you can change your morning routine, you can change anything. Change requires you to act deliberately, despite how you feel. If you can master that in one area of your life, you can do it in any area that you're trying to improve. And finally, I want you to experience a concept called activation energy and feel how hard it is to really push yourself to do some simple things. In chemistry, activation energy is the minimum amount of energy required to begin a chemical reaction. Chemists have found that this initial amount of energy is much higher than the average amount of energy that's needed to keep a reaction going. So what does that have to do with getting up? It has a lot to do with it. The initial amount of energy that's required to push yourself out of bed is a lot higher than the energy you exert once you're up and moving. Legendary psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi applied this concept to human behavior, blaming activation energy as one of the reasons why making change is so hard. He defines activation energy as that initial huge push of energy that's required to change, whether it's to get a stalled car to move, or yourself out of a warm bed in the morning, or away from your computer if you got to get to the gym. It's that first bout of energy that's so uncomfortable. So I want you to feel that resistance so that you can learn what you're up against and what it's going to feel like when you push yourself. If you don't get that huge push like you did as a kid, remember when you were a kid and your mom or dad would be like, all right, turn off the TV. It's a beautiful day. Get outside and go do something. Remember how annoying that was? Your brain will eventually take you down the path of doing nothing unless somebody pushes you in a different direction. When you start to count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it is the beginning of a chain reaction. It not only awakens your prefrontal cortex, but it also gets you ready to make that physical, initial, huge push that's required to change. When you get up, the moment the alarm rings, it gives you personal power. I kid you not. This one small act of getting up when the alarm rings, it demonstrates something. It demonstrates that you have the inner strength to do what needs to be done. Plus, as Emma discovered, it's going to give you a much more positive outlook on the day. Emma wrote to me, I think this was on Facebook, Mel, I listened to your TED Talk last night. I woke up this morning, used the 5-second rule for the first time in years to my alarm without hitting the snooze button. I have never had a more positive outlook on the day. I'm excited to try this approach for all aspects of my life. That's also what Tracy experienced by waking up at 5 a.m. Started my day with an early morning workout with a little help from the 5-second rule. If you can't get yourself out of bed, you'll never be able to pursue all the other changes that you want to make in your life. It starts right here. If you take that one simple step of taking control of your mornings, you're going to catalyze a chain of events that leads to change everywhere. Here's how you're going to do it. So first, we're going to set you up for success. Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to place your alarm clock in another room and set it for 30 minutes earlier than you'd normally wake up. Even though it isn't easy to, quote, drag your ass out of bed, as Patty described to me, you got to push yourself to complete the challenge. Now, you might be wondering why I want you to start this exercise by setting your alarm 30 minutes earlier. The reason is simple. I want it to feel hard, as if you literally have to drag yourself out of bed, like Patty just said. Tomorrow morning, when that alarm sounds, open your eyes, start counting backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then throw off the covers, get up, roll out of bed, walk out of your bedroom. That's it. That's it. Start your day, no delay, no pillow over the head, no lingering, no griping, no snooze, no crawling back into bed. I know, it sounds simple, right? Guess again. Here's what you can expect. As soon as that alarm goes off, you're going to think about how you feel about getting up. Remember, it's your feelings that make decisions. You'll think, oh, This stupid wake-up challenge is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm not doing this. Mel Robbins isn't going to know anyway. This is stupid. You're going to feel tired. You're going to convince yourself, ugh, I drank way too much last night. I'm going to start this dumb thing tomorrow. That's what you're going to do. I know. I do the same crap to myself. You are going to literally not want to get up. I promise you that. I promise you, you are not going to want to do this. But the 5-second rule is going to help you win the battle with your feelings by giving you something to do. See, normally when you get advice, people give you shit to think about. I'm giving you something to do. This is very different. Like Tim. Tim said, hey, I wanted to let you know that I used the 5-second rule this morning. My alarm went off at 4:30 to head to the gym. I did not want to get up. Then the 5-second rule popped into my head, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I got up. I just wanted to say thanks. See, once the 5-second rule popped into his head, Tim was able to immediately get up and head to the gym. Why? The reason why is because by counting backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he activated his prefrontal cortex. The second he hit 1, his mind was looking for something to do. He interrupted the habit of saying, screw it. He interrupted the habit of hitting the snooze button. He interrupted the habit of saying, eh, I don't feel like it. He cut off the feelings that make the decision. It's in those moments that the rule is going to help you take action. It will cut off your feelings. This is what Jessica wrote. I found that the 5-4-3-2-1-go method helps on those days when I just don't feel like it. And that attitude creeps in, which is every day, by the way. That's right. We all have an I just don't feel like it attitude. And it has a way of taking over your entire day. And that's another reason why you need to use this rule and why it's so important. And it has a trickle-down effect, too. Just ask Steven. So Steven's interesting. He wrote to me the night before he was going to try this wake-up challenge. He writes, hey, Mel, I saw your speech. Very inspiring. I'm going to be waking up at 6:30 tomorrow morning and tossing the covers off. No snooze. Steven. Okay, right? So I asked him, because I'm that kind of gal. Got to follow up. How'd it go? You know what he said? It sucked. That's what he said. It sucked. When he first tried it, but over time, it made a huge difference. His mindset has changed. And within a few minutes, his day is totally different. Now, I checked in with him a few weeks after he had been using it for a while. I want to read his response. You ready? This is amazing. So I asked him, how'd it go? It sucked. I hate mornings. I've also hated nearly every job I've ever had. I've always settled and rarely pursue my passions. I've always been fine. I was out of work for 4 months when I sent you the message about getting out of bed at 6:30. I won't say I haven't slept in since then, but it's made a huge difference. I had a mindset that I wouldn't be able to get a new job that I cared about that would pay enough for us to cover our bills, save for retirement, and live life. That first morning I did the wake-up challenge was terrible, but only for the first few minutes. My mindset literally changed in the span of a few minutes. I was up, ready to conquer the world. Since then, I'm in a new position, working for a company and selling a service that I strongly believe in. And the income potential not only pays the bills, but we'll also be able to save for retirement and start living life and having fun again. I guess if I were to have to sum it all up for you, it would be this. I love helping others, and I've long had visions of doing that through business by gaining and sharing knowledge, wealth, and resources with others to allow them to pursue their passions. As of September 12th, the snooze button has been broken and autopilot no longer exists. Watch out, world. Here I come, and I'm bringing friends. As you just heard, for Steven, this wake-up challenge has made all the difference. Steven isn't just waking up earlier. He's changed from a guy who used to always settle and rarely pursue my passions to a person who has taken his life into his own hands, 1 5-second decision at a time. And it began with the most important decision of the day, and that is getting up when the alarm rings. If you can get up on time, start your day powerfully, plan ahead, think about your goals, and focus on yourself, all before you get bogged down in your daily routine, then you will simply accomplish more. It's a fact. This is the first step to taking control of your life. Remember, I created the rule to help me get out of bed. But the 5-second rule is about something so much more important than waking up on time. It's about waking up the power in you and using it to shake up your life. Now, after you try the wake-up challenge, let me know what you discover about yourself using the hashtag 5-second rule. You might find, like Steven did, that it sucked. But over time, I guarantee this one small change will make a huge difference. Now that you know how to get started on the basic level, the next 3 parts of the book will dive deeper into how you can use the rule to achieve specific goals, including increasing productivity, beating fear, feeling happier, and enriching your relationships. All right, now let's get to part 3 of the book. Courage changes your behavior. This is the section of the book where we're going to dig into the 5-second rule and teach you how to use it in combination with the latest research in human behavior so that you can learn how to change any single aspect of human behavior that you want to. So here's an intro to this section for you. It's called How to Become the Most Productive Person You Know. I want to read this to you because it's going to set up what's about to happen in the next 3 sections. I like to say that the 5-second rule is change agnostic. Agnostic is a fancy word that basically means it doesn't really prefer anything. It'll work with anything. It's neutral. And the 5-second rule is very neutral that way. It's going to work with any kind of behavior change that you're trying to make happen. The applications of the 5-second rule are truly only limited by your imagination. If you want to adopt any positive new habit, all you have to do, I'm not kidding, is use the rule to 5-4-3-2-1 and push yourself to do whatever you need to do to adopt that positive new habit. Here's the other cool thing about the rule, and I've alluded to this already in the book. You can use the rule to pull yourself away from destructive behavior like gambling, drinking, drugs, or impulsive behavior like micromanaging your team, snapping in frustration, and binge-watching too many TV shows. All you need to do is 5-4-3-2-1 in order to assert control, shift your focus away from the destructive or impulsive behavior, and then turn and walk away from it. Like all change, it is simple, but it's not going to be easy. But the rule will help you get it done. There are 3 behavior changes that I receive emails about constantly. And by the way, if you ever want to email me, the email is very simple, hello@melrobbins.com. But the 3 topics I receive emails about all the time are health, productivity, and procrastination. In this section, part 3 of the book, I'm going to address each one of these. You're going to learn the step-by-step approach to how you can use the 5-second rule in combination with some of the recent research-based strategies to help you improve these 3 major areas of your life. First, we're going to dive into the secrets to improving your health. You're not going to like it, but it works. You're also going to hear about people all around the globe who are using the 5-second rule to do some pretty remarkable things for themselves in the area of health. Second, you're going to learn how to increase your productivity using the 5-second rule, and you're also going to learn the latest research on focus, productivity, and your brain. There's a particular fact in this chapter about the snooze button and how it impacts your productivity. This is something that I learned about for the first time as I was researching and writing this book, and I think it's going to really surprise you and answer a lot of questions about why you often feel so damn tired as you start your day. Third, you're going to dive into a subject that plagues every single one of us, me too, procrastination. We're going to talk about the 2 forms of procrastination. Yes, there are 2 forms of procrastination. And we're also going to dig into the step-by-step method for how you can use the 5-second rule in combination with 19 years of research that will help you beat procrastination once and for all. Everything you're about to learn, you can implement immediately, and it's backed by science. To reach your full potential, you're going to have to push yourself. There simply is no other way. Chapter 9, Improve Your Health. Almost half the messages I receive from people around the world are just like you and me. They want to improve their health in some way, whether it's to slim down, pump up, drop weight, lower their cholesterol, heal themselves from illness, eat healthier, or improve strength and flexibility. Whatever it is, I got some good news for you. You can use the 5-second rule to get it done. Now here's the truth about improving your health. Thinking about being healthier not going to make you healthier. Even meditation, think about this for a minute. Even meditation, which is basically a mental and a breathing exercise, it requires that you do it. There's no getting around this. When it comes to improving your health, you are going to have to take action. Now, here's the irony. In no other area of our lives is there more information, support, research, opinions, or free content than on the subject of health and wellness. You could Google diet. If you were to Google the word diet and then just hit search, you would get tens of millions of pages of information. You could take the top 20 search results. You could click out the top 20 diets that Google tells you that you should follow. And you could put them all up on the wall and throw a dart at them. Whatever diet that dart hits, if you were to actually follow it, it would work. Seriously. Every single diet works. The problem is, we don't like dieting. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat salad for 170 days. That sounds like it would suck. See, the problem is not the diet. And you and I know what you do because you probably do the same thing that I do, which is you spend all kinds of time analyzing diets and trying to pick the perfect diet and thinking about the diet and planning for the perfect diet. The problem isn't the diet. The problem is that when you start to diet, you're going to have feelings about the diet. And that's what the problem's going to be. And the same is true about exercising. You know, Anna wrote to us and she said that, quote, she never feels like working out. Well, feelings are what are going to get in the way of your desires to become healthier. We just talked about this in the last few chapters over and over and over again. And like Anna, you can use the 5-second rule. Anna started using the 5-second rule to 5-4-3-2-1 in order to get herself out of bed, out of her apartment, and back into the gym and to a spin class. You know, she said it was really funny that she felt like she had to apologize to the person next to her because she was hyperventilating the entire time during the class. But here's the deal. You may hyperventilate when you go to that first spin class, but who cares? It sure as hell sounds better than making excuses to yourself at home for why you shouldn't go. So I'm going to keep saying this. Every single diet, every exercise program, every gym circuit, every workout class, every physical therapy regimen, every cross-training routine, every meditation program and yoga flow, every one of those will improve your health. But you got to do it. And believe me, I get it. I hate exercising. Especially if it's cold or if it's raining outside. I hate it as much as I hate getting out of bed. And here's another confession. If I didn't know the 5-second rule, I would not be in shape. And I'm not in that great a shape. I just get myself to the gym. But I wouldn't even make it there if it wasn't for this rule. So you might be wondering, why is it that getting healthy is so hard? Why? I mean, why are so many of us out of weight and out of shape and we know what we should do, but we don't do it? Dude, you already know the answer. Why are things hard? Why is change hard? What is the answer? The answer is simple. It's your feelings. If you feel deprived, right? Let's say that you want to go gluten-free. But if you start to feel deprived of bread, are you going to stick to the diet? No. The second you consider how you feel about eating healthy for the next 113 days, you're going to convince yourself not to do it. The moment that you scan today's CrossFit workout and you consider how you feel about doing 3 sets of 45 burpees with a bunch of people in a parking lot while it's raining outside, are you going to feel like walking out the door? Of course not. And here's the rub. We know in our heads that sticking to a diet will make you happy. We also know that if you were to push yourself out the door and get yourself to CrossFit, we know that you would absolutely love the fact that you did it. I mean, just ask Melanie. Melanie had a lot of trouble, quote, getting off the damn couch before she found the rule. She writes, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for saying in a language I can relate, for making me get off the damn couch and out of my head, for experiencing momentum. Just be my awesome self. Relief, freedom, and breakthroughs. You know, once Melanie did get moving, she experienced what you're going to experience. I want to repeat those words, freedom and breakthroughs. That's something that we all want. The moment that you accept the fact that you just want to do the things that feel easy, you're going to realize something. Getting healthy, staying in shape, it's simple. Here's the rule. You're never going to feel like it. you have to do it anyway. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Look, blowing off the gym, hitting the In-N-Out burger drive-thru, wasting time on Facebook. I do it too. It's a hell of a lot easier than hyperventilating in spin class or cutting out sugar from your diet. That's why we do it. It's easier. But if you want to lose weight, follow a diet, and regularly exercise, there's only one thing you must do. You have to stop considering how you feel. Because the truth is, your feelings don't matter. I don't give a shit how you feel. The only thing that matters is what you do. Erica wrote to me because she realized this. Let me read her email to you. She said, "Hey, Mel, I saw you on CNN last night and I was intrigued. I've been following you on Twitter for about a year now and your inspirational tweets help so much. What has really helped is your 5-second rule. I finally got my butt in gear this year and started to lose weight that I had tacked on over the last couple years. I've lost 30 pounds this year. And despite that, I found myself losing all motivation to get my workouts in. I always had an excuse. I worked out late, didn't have enough time, blah, 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 blah. Sound familiar, right? I watched your video about weight loss on your blog a few weeks ago, and you were spot on about every damn thing. I'm never going to feel like working out, but if I want to see the results, I need to get those workouts in. I've been using the 5-second rule, and today marks day 7 of not missing a workout. Some days I still don't want to work out, but I have goals, and if I convince myself to get that workout in within the first 5 seconds, it gets done." Now that is cool. That is super cool, and it makes me so happy, and I'm so glad that she realized she's never going to feel like working out. That's how you and I are wired. You need to get this in your brain. Human beings, you, me, everyone you know, we are all wired the same way. We're wired to do things that feel easy. We are wired to avoid things that feel hard. Erica was able to find 5-second windows of opportunity and then push herself to act on them. Exercise, we think it's physical. It's 100% mental. If you stay in your head and you consider how you feel about it, you're never going to get out the door and do it. But if you push yourself, your body will go first and then your mind will fall in line. That's why the 5-second rule is game changing for your health. Here's how you're going to use it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Stop complaining. Go to the gym. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Put down the donut and eat grilled chicken breast. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Walk away from the bakery. Look, I know you walk past a bakery. If they're busy baking croissants or bread or something, it smells like mermaids are singing to you in there. It's amazingly tantalizing. I feel it too. If you made a promise to yourself that you were not going to eat that stuff, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, despite how much you want to walk in there and push forward, move away from it. That is the only way you stick to it. You may feel sorry for yourself. You may feel defeated, but there are people all over the world who are fatter, lazier, and way more out of shape than you are right now. And they 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and change themselves into a totally different human being. There's this guy, Charlie Bruno. Now, when he first wrote to me, he weighed 383 pounds. The dude's waist was 54 inches. If you want to see photos of him, just go to melrobbins.com, and in the 31 sessions of mentoring, we will be doing a video about Charlie, and you will see for yourself the transformation. 54 inches. Unbelievable. Can you imagine how horrible he felt? 383 pounds. Now, here's the thing. How did he do it? In a year, for 529 days straight, this guy made it his goal to lose weight. How did he do it? He picked something that does not appeal to me. I'm going to just put it right out there. He picked something that appealed to him, does not appeal to me. He basically drinks drinks that taste like grass. Yuck. I know. Who wants to drink that garbage? Not me. But Charlie decided that's it. 383 pounds, 54 inch waist. I am taking this on. Not only did he lose weight, he now runs a business called Juicing Strong that helps other people do the same thing. 529 straight days, he pushed himself to keep a promise that he made to himself to drink these awful drinks. Why? Why would he do that? I'm going to tell you something. Not because he felt like doing it. You think on day 331 he felt like drinking one of those disgusting drinks again? I don't think so. He pushed himself because he said he would. Imagine if instead of pushing himself, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, drink the drink, Charlie spent 529 days thinking about losing 176 pounds. What would have happened then? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Goes back to the chapter where we talked about what are you waiting for? We're all waiting for the right time to start. How much time have you already wasted thinking about getting into shape, into the body that would make you proud? Alexandra also found her way to a healthier lifestyle by juicing. She wrote to me, so every day at 5:30 p.m., I am looking at a full email box with marketing plans and reports to send out, and then I almost go, maybe I'll skip the juice today. But no, no way. I breathe, and I think the emails are not going anywhere, and nobody's going to get injured if I delay the report for 2 hours, so it's all about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. It works every single day. It really does. Because you are interrupting your feelings, you're interrupting your bad habits, and you are pushing yourself to make the change. Charlie and Alexandra both found that when you follow your instincts, you know, your instincts that are tied to the goals that are important to you, if leading a healthier life is important to you, the way you're going to do that is you're going to be doing it by taking courageous actions every single day. That's the only way that change happens. It takes courage to start something. It takes courage to stick with it. And it definitely takes courage to share it with the world. That's what Pakenham described to me. Courage is what it required to lose weight because sometimes, as she writes, the gap between where you are and where you want to be can seem so large that you can't even face how much work you have to do. Here she writes, "Hi, Mel. For my entire life, I've been overweight. Now I'm trying to diet for the first time in my life. I feel lost and trapped, but I keep going. I have a massive feeling of insecurity and vulnerability. Can you please explain this?" Yes, I can. The reason why you often feel that thing, you know, where you set a goal and you get all super jacked and inspired and you can't wait to take this on, and then what happens right after, this can happen so quickly, is suddenly all this regret just swoops right in. Because you just set this huge, huge goal for yourself. You get excited. And then as you come back down to earth, you realize, oh my God, I got a lot to do. This is going to be a lot of work. And you start to realize where you really are. And the gap between the person you are right now in this moment, setting goals for yourself, and the person you want to become, it can seem so big that it feels impossible to bridge that gap. I want you to know something. Feeling this way, it's normal. But it becomes a form of self-abuse if you allow those feelings to take over your mind and your actions. You know, that's why I love Charlie. Charlie, who lost, you know, over 170 pounds, and you can see the photos of him, you will, in the mentoring sessions. Anyone can bridge the gap between the numbers on a scale with a push. And I'm telling you Charlie's story because I want that to inspire you. It is little actions every single day that will lead to massive changes over time. You know, I have somebody else I want you to meet. His name is Mark, and he's using his Instagram account to hold himself accountable. He has posted publicly. Here's what he wrote. "I'm deciding to take my fitness to another level by announcing my Facebook Nation that I will do 5,000 push-ups, 2,000 pull-ups, and run 200 kilometers in the month of July." Holy smokes. "All of this while vacationing with my kids half of the month and trying to finish my book on increasing business value and selling a business, which, by the way, I started because of the 5-second rule. I'm living proof that this brilliant advice works." Wow, that guy's on fire. The discipline of daily exercise, by the way, you know how Mark just wrote about how he's going to take this all on in the month of July? It's also going to help him with other personal and professional goals of trying to finish the book on increasing business value and selling. Every day that Mark exercises, He's not only going to have proven to himself that he's the kind of guy that follows through on what he says, but he's also going to prime his brain, and that's going to help him finish writing the book. I hope he keeps us posted on when that's available. Now look, I read 5,000 push-ups in a month, and I basically have a heart attack. It's a little overwhelming. I mean, it might literally kill you if you try something like that. No problem. You don't have to use the 5-second rule to go out for American Ninja Warrior. Not a problem. I'm not expecting you to do an obstacle course or a Spartan race unless that's something that you want to do. Maybe it's just about taking on a fitness challenge. Check out Anouk. She wrote to me, and she's on week 3 of hers. She was telling me the simple truth about exercise. I really, 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 really don't feel like it, but I do it anyway. Boom, boom, boom. You rock, girl, and you rock too. Seriously, you listening to this because you bought this and you have decided to put the time into learning a simple tool that can help you change absolutely everything. Look, if you feel overwhelmed by the thought of taking this on for real, I want you to meet Alice. Alice is a 19-year-old girl from the UK, and she wrote to me because she had been in a really bad place. I'm going to let her describe it to you. Here's the email that she wrote. I suffer with anxiety and agoraphobia, and they really took their toll on me. I gained about 30 pounds, which made me even more miserable, and I stayed indoors even more. Additionally, I felt pressured by my parents to do a certain degree at a certain university and convinced myself I was fine doing this in order to please them. I watched your video, and it really made me think, is this really what I want? Am I really fine with being the size I am? Do I deserve to get what I want? I won't lie. It took some time, but I watched her talk about once a week, and then I had the impulse. That's right, she had the impulse to get real with herself. Because the truth is, she did have the desire to take control of her life. She didn't want to be the size that she was. She had the urge to change. And not only did she talk to her parents, but she changed her major. And something else happened too when she started to use the rule. I was accepted to the university of my choice and the course of my choice, and I am due to go this October. As for my weight, since December, I've lost 28 pounds from eating healthy, getting into a good exercise routine, and it's all down to the 5-second rule. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time, but I really wanted to tell you how much your talk impacted me. I have still got a long way to go, but whenever I feel myself slipping, I watch your talk again. You know, whenever you do feel yourself slipping, whenever you do feel yourself giving up on yourself, the 5-second rule is always there. At any moment in time, you can take control. All you got to do is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and push yourself forward in a direction that empowers you. That's what it takes. It takes courage to do what Alice did. It takes courage to be honest with yourself about what you want. And it takes courage to start. And I'll tell you what, it takes an act of bravery to start again after you've fallen off the wagon and you start to feel like you've given up on yourself. And oftentimes, it's that very first step that's the hardest. You know, if you slip up, if you fall off a wagon, you can get back on track. Slipping up is normal. Having a cheat day is normal. Blowing off the alarm and hitting the snooze button, that's normal. There are going to be days where you just don't feel like it. There are going to be days when you're sick. There are going to be days when things happen. That's life. But always remember that you are 5 seconds away from taking control again. Just ask Kristen. She says something really important in this Instagram post. It's a photograph of her sitting in her bedroom, and she's on a stationary bicycle. She writes, quote, the first step, getting out of bed, is the hardest, but it is so worth it when the pedals start to spin. No matter how many times you've exercised, you know, look, I'm no professional athlete. My husband happens to do, he just did his first half Ironman triathlon. It is still a struggle every day for him to find the time and find the will to push himself out the door to go train. Even people that are in incredible shape struggle. Getting started is the hardest part. Remember when I told you that I wanted you to start experimenting with the rule by doing the wake-up challenge? And that the reason why I wanted you to do that was so that you can experience this concept called activation energy. Remember, it's the force that's required to start something. That's what Kristen is referring to. And she's right. It's the hardest part to push yourself to start, because that's when you need to muster up and find activation energy. And it's so worth doing. In fact, there's nothing more worth it than learning to push yourself right past your excuses so you take one step closer to the life, to the body, or the future that you deserve. You know, maybe your health challenge isn't about getting to the gym. Maybe for you, it's something scarier, like fighting an illness. You aren't alone. We receive a tremendous amount of email and social media posts about folks that are looking to build the courage that they need every day to heal, to live, and to stay strong. A lot of people have written about struggling with cancer and setbacks in health and wondering how you can reclaim your courage and your strength to fight. The 5-second rule is a tool that you can use to find your inner strength to face serious illness. Greg Cheek is one heck of an inspiring guy to follow on social media. All you have to do is Google his name, Greg Cheek. You know, like the cheeks on the side of your face. That's how he spells it. He was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. He was very shocked when he was first diagnosed. But what did he decide to do? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He decided that he was going to not only fight cancer and kick its ass, but he was going to run marathons while he did it. How many has run since his diagnosis? 10. How incredible is that? Maybe it's not about running marathons. Maybe health for you means being brave enough to get your annual mammogram screening done. When Amy Robach, who's one of the hosts of Good Morning America, was asked to have her first ever mammogram live on air during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know what her initial reaction was? It was no way. Absolutely not. No way, no how. She didn't have any connection to the disease. And she also felt really self-conscious about making herself like the spectacle in the story when it's such an important topic. So Amy turned to Robin Roberts. And Robin Roberts, I don't know if you know this, obviously she's the anchor of Good Morning America, but she's also a fellow breast cancer survivor. And so Amy turned to her for advice. And after Amy told Robin that she had never had a mammogram, you know what Robin said? This was what Robin said to her. Amy, that's the whole point. Listen, nobody knows better than I do how uncomfortable it can be having people watching you go through something medical. But the power of saving even one life is so remarkable, you'll never regret it. And I can pretty much guarantee that it will save a life. Just by you walking into that mammogram and demystifying this test, someone will find out that they have cancer who wouldn't have otherwise. Amy, 80% of women who have breast cancer have no family history. Amy made up her mind right there in Robin's dressing room. She decided to have the mammogram. It was a 5-second decision right there. That's the power of a decision. She went back on air weeks later to reveal something. You know whose life she saved? Her own. The screening that she had done on live television that she almost didn't have done, it resulted in her being diagnosed with breast cancer. Isn't that unbelievable? Imagine if she hadn't made that 5-second decision. Imagine if she hadn't gone to talk to Robin. Imagine. Amy went through a double mastectomy. I mean, this was no joke around cancer, breast cancer. 8 rounds of chemotherapy. Today, she's cancer-free. Now, while Amy didn't use the 5-second rule in her decision, she got a push from Robin and she made a 5-second decision. Thank goodness she did. Look, you may not be lucky enough to have a work colleague there to push you, but you can always 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and push yourself. Improving your health is all about action. You might not lose as much weight as Charlie or run 10 marathons like Greg did, but you can push yourself to get to the dentist, to exercise, or go to the doctor for a test like a mammogram or a prostate screening. When you push yourself, just like so many of the people you've just heard about, the life that you change will be your own. Life is about choices. It's about decisions. And I've said over and over in this book as we've been talking that you can always choose how you act. You can't choose how you feel. You can't count on feeling motivated. You can't count on feeling excited. You can't count on feeling brave enough to walk in and get a cancer screening. But you can always choose how you act. If you have goals to get healthier, what you need to do is very straightforward. Pick a plan. Seriously, don't overthink it. Pick a plan. Anything will do. And then it's about getting started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And after that, every single day, it's about continuing to go forward. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The only thing that you will need to choose after that is choosing each and every day to do it. Even though, as Anouk said, you really, really, really don't feel like it. I said that what you need to do is simple. I didn't say it would be easy. I promise you, it will be worth it. Exercise and health comes down to one simple rule. You don't have to feel like it. You just have to do it. Chapter 10, Increase Productivity. Productivity can be boiled down to one word, focus. There are two types of focus you need in order to master productivity. First, the ability to manage distractions so that you can focus moment to moment on the task at hand. And second, the skill of focusing on what's truly important to you in the big picture so you don't waste your day on stupid stuff. We're going to explore both types of focus. Then we'll take a look at the latest research on the subject. And finally, you're going to learn how to use the 5-second rule to master the skills of focusing your time on what's most important and managing distractions as they pop up. Get serious about managing distractions. Look, managing distractions is like following through on health goals. You're never going to feel like it. You just have to make yourself do it. You already know that being addicted to your phone, texting, and answering emails is a distraction, but stopping it can feel impossible. Even though you know that you should turn off pop-up alerts, silence your phone, and stop checking email every 5 minutes, I bet having this knowledge, because we all do, it's not changing your behavior, is it? You're still looking at your emails, you're still answering your pop-ups, you still got the reminders on, and I could spend literally the next 10 hours of this book burying your ass with research about how bad this is. And guess what? That's not going to change your behavior either. This is where the 5-second rule comes into play. You don't have to want to do it. You just have to push yourself to do it. So first things first, can we agree that distractions are not good for you? Seriously. You've got to make a decision that you're going to remove distractions. Interruptions of any sort, an email, a phone call, a text, a pop-up, whatever it may be, they are a kiss of death for your productivity. Research shows, for example, that open office spaces, yeah, they look really cool, don't they? They are a nightmare for focus. Checking email. Do you know why checking email is such an addictive thing? Have you ever read anything about this? It's interesting. There's a word for it that you're going to start seeing pop up all the time, and behavioral researchers have realized that the addictive quality of email is the exact same psychological makeup as the addictive quality of pulling a slot machine lever. It's a concept called random rewards. The reason why people sit at slot machines and they pull and then they look and see what comes up and then they pull and they look and see what comes up is every third or fourth pull, you get a good one. And so you keep pulling. Psychologically, you're looking for that next payout. Same is true with email. I'd say every 7 or 8 kind of blow, and then every once in a while, I get kind of a good one, right? Somebody sends a funny video, or maybe there's a compliment from somebody at work. Random rewards, it's a psychological principle, is the reason why you can't help yourself but to continue to interrupt your important work by checking your email. So, first, you got to decide, you know, maybe it's not the greatest thing that I'm constantly distracted. You know, let me give you another example. You ever sit around and talk to a friend and you got something really important that you want to talk to them about and they keep looking at their phone? It's annoying, isn't it? Really annoying. I'm not talking about just when you're chit-chatting, but when you're actually trying to get somebody to pay attention to you. Your brain is the same way. When you've got important work, your brain really wants you to pay attention. Every time you check email, surf the web, you check out YouTube, you fiddle around with something, you're not paying attention to what